listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday. It's time for us to check in with our friend, Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Weiss, welcome back to His Time.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here, and I'm sort of here, but then sort of not here. This is the gift of media and what we can do.
That's right.
You know, from...
It's amazing what we can do with technology these days.
As long as it's used appropriately.
That's right.
I mean, we always have these issues, you know, of how people are using it. And we've, you know, I know you've talked about the whole issue of the accessibility of pornography. And some people, when you talk about this over, and I don't know about His Time, whether you've dealt with this, but boy, that's the accessibility in parents using different, like iPhones, iPads, and computers, and letting their kids sit in church and do these things. And then not blocking certain things. I mean, here we go, and we don't have, I know, time to spend on this, but the whole issue, you do this already in His Family, the issue of parenting. Boy, that's just, I think, going to become, well, I think it already is, so important that what the Scriptures have to say about parenting, whether you're a single parent or not, it's tough, but parenting has always been difficult. Look at Adam and Eve, you know,
sure.
With Cain and Abel, and I mean... You know, they. You know, people don't talk about, well, where did they go wrong? You know, well, sin corrupted, you know, their body and soul.
Well, I think you brought up, a good topic that really segues very well into our topic today. You're talking about technology and parenting. And I think that probably leads right into a topic that we face today. Can technology lead to becoming parents?
Yes, it can. And what we're happening... And what I have in front of me here, and your listeners know I read scientific journals, and that's part of my, as I say, my post-hole digging career, PhD, of many, many, many years. And I read these to keep up, and yes, these journals also talk about Darwinian evolution, but, you know, a pastor, a theologian, professional church worker doesn't live in a closet. And they need to be informed on this, including your Christian listeners out there and those who may be struggling over whether or not, gee, this Christian business. Because I just talked with my son-in-law, who is working with a young man who is Muslim, and he says, I know about Jesus, and I really like what Jesus says, but I'm still having struggle over him and Muhammad, and because that's what I was raised with, but I just think this Jesus has a lot more to say. So Brian has been moving him, and he can see that the Holy Spirit is slowly capturing him by God's word to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So it's an interesting story Brian has been sharing with me, and he's been doing this. He met this young man through World Vision, and so... So that's something that it's always nice to hear. But this whole issue of parenting is about the human embryo. And about 450 fertility clinics in the United States and many, many more overseas in England, Australia, and Europe, and China, and wherever you want, they all offer more than 28 ways to create a child in addition to what we know in Genesis 4:1, where Adam knew Eve. And we got Cain and Abel and so forth, and then Seth. And in that context, there is, of course, the in vitro fertilization, where you mix sperm and egg together in a petri dish, and you have a human being created. And there is the other technique that is used, where they inject one sperm into one egg. And then that, of course, creates a human being. And then these are then... These are then put into incubators, CO2 incubators, and they develop up to about day 4 or 5. Well, what's happening now in research, and the magazines I have in front of me, they have developed technology so that these human embryos, these embryonic human beings, can live now not just 4 or 5 days and then be implanted, but up to 13 and 14 days. Hmm. In the United States... you can do no research on a human embryo from 14 days on, because that's when supposedly identical twins are developed, the nervous system is developed, and so we don't want to cause pain. But I can tell your listeners that the embryology books, those books that deal with the development of the human from fertilization or conception on through the the first 8 weeks, they will say twinning can occur at any time up through 14 or 15 days. No one knows exactly when that happens, but it happens. And so so now they're saying, gee, we can do this at 13 or 14 days. So now what we're going to be asking based on these articles, since they can live longer, maybe we can ask more people to donate their quote-unquote leftover or spare frozen embryos, because embryos that are created in the Petri dish are usually many more than can be implanted into the woman's womb. Usually they implant two, and so they'll take, say, the other three or six and freeze them at minus 320 degrees Fahrenheit in liquid nitrogen. And so many parents don't know what to do with them. Mm-hmm. There are like 700,000 unclaimed frozen embryos in the United States alone, more than a million in the world. And here you have these tiny human beings. So the researchers are saying, hey, we can use them. We can find out why some embryos don't implant. And so they bring out all of this stuff that people, yeah, that would really be good. But the question is, from our viewpoint, and I know we've talked about this, but it has to be repeated. And this takes us and our listeners back to the first article. Well, God has made me and all creatures and given me my body, soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, and daily and richly provides and cares for them. And so we look, certainly within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that this embryo, this one-day-old embryo called a zygote, which means to be full, is a human being. I read a book called The Concentration Can, one of the first cases in Tennessee on frozen embryos in 1992, and there were seven of them left over. And the doctor, Jerome Lejeune, who testified in court on this, said, you know, you people need to understand a human plus a human equals a human. They didn't listen to him. And so these embryos were given back to the man, not to the woman, because there was no legal case. Because they say, well, the woman can always make more children. She has the womb. So where there's no legal case, they tend to go back to the man, not the woman.
Really?
Yes, yes. But now with the legal sides and papers are signed, and there are still struggles over who gets them. But my concern is that people need to know, if they're going into these infertility clinics, they need to be asking questions, or the fertility clinics, questions on, if we do this technology, how many of these embryos are going to die in the experimental process of creating a human being? And then how many will you implant? And then what are you going to do with the leftover ones? Because it takes a $500 to $1,000 check once a year to keep them frozen. And much of this, my working with couples who struggle with fertility, it goes right past them, all of this information. But they need to ask that. And then they need to talk to their pastor and other people who've struggled over this, because you are dealing with the creation of a human being in a test tube that will be decided whether that human being lives or dies by human eyes that look at it through a microscope and say, well, this doesn't look like it's going to survive. And then those are destroyed or go to research, unbeknownst, as we say, in South St. Louis, to those people who are doing this. So I want to bring up this issue that in embryo research, spare frozen embryos can be donated, and I would caution people on doing that. I would even caution them on using in vitro fertilization. We don't have an official position on that, except when you get into surrogacy, where you're using somebody else's womb or somebody else's egg or somebody else's sperm. But we are cautious in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that this has to be prayerfully considered before you enter into it, and well thought out, because you need to know that all of these embryos that are created in a Petri dish, they are graded on a scale, say 1 to 3, good, better, best. That's the most recent one. Or 1 through 5, and maybe the ones 3, 4, and 5 will be good, but the other ones won't. So these are all things that lead us back to the scriptures that God has made us and takes care of us. So that's kind of what I want to encourage your listeners to start to think about.
It's a very, very important topic. Now, I know that you talked about this possibility of donating your frozen embryos for research. That might be something that, as you mentioned, in this whole process is mentioned very briefly and requires minimal acknowledgement on the part of the man and the woman, the patients here, because I could see how in the inundation of paperwork and things like that, that just moves along very quickly. I remember buying, for example, I don't know if this is comparable or not, but buying a car not too long ago in the last few years. And in the process of signing the documents of buying the car, you know, the business office was very quick in this process. They'd slap a paper down, explain what it is, and sign it. And I noticed they were doing this very quickly, and we got to one paper. It was one that they didn't explain. They just shoved it in the middle of the papers and just sign it because they were going very quickly to get you to sign it. And what I realized was I just signed one they didn't explain. Mm-hmm. And I stopped and I asked what that was. Well, it was actually a legal document indicating that it was an arbitration agreement that it was something that could create a legal issue down the road, or you know, for them saying, you know, that it was really for their benefit, not for mine. And I saw how they put that in ever so quickly and how easy it was for me to overlook that. I could see how in a situation where I'm very emotional about, you know, about the potential of having a child or the inability to conceive a child and going through, you know, the legal documents and something like that, how I might overlook something like that.
Yeah. These are things that, I mean, I really, my general impression, having talked with many couples that have gone to fertility clinics, is that they do a pretty good job of explaining these things, but they get into some of the emotive side. Like, you know, if you have some of these, would be good. It would really help people understand about miscarriages if we could use a few of these. They quote unquote mean well, but one has to can say, you know, this is a human being that we're going to freeze. And in thinking about this technology, I do know couples that do this and they don't freeze. They say, look, if you can do this with two, implant two, that's it. We don't want any frozen kids because the Bible's very clear. You raise your children and the instruction and discipline of the Lord. And you can't do this with a frozen child. And so couples I've talked with, they come back to me and they say, boy, it just didn't hit us that we had these. And they're troubled. So you take parents where they are at that time. You don't go, I can't believe you did. No, it's like Paul. You take them where they're at and work with them as much as you can as a caring Christian, and you bear their burden. But there's not much one can say other than they need to go back into your womb. I mean, they're your children. But sometimes doctors will say, no, we can't do that because this could jeopardize your life. Well, some of this, they didn't know. So much of this does fly past them, but I try and encourage couples to think about the big picture, to take in a note card with your questions. And surely I do know pastors can help them and DCEs and other church workers to think about, you know, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? It doesn't mean you can't do it. It just, you need to think about this and pray about it.
To make sure that the professionals you're working with understand your values and what's important to you, and hopefully they share those values.
Yeah, they should. And I mean, this is the same reason if a woman goes in and they're having trouble with a child. And I just read a note where a nurse was relieved from a hospital because she refused to participate in an elective abortion, and they fired her. She said, well, I'm sorry, but this is what I believe, teach, and confess. And they fired her. Of course, now that's being tested in the court system. But this is part of what a Christian witness is all about, is to really firmly think about your Christian witness when you get involved with this type of biotechnology.
Well, certainly a timely topic again as well. Dr. Weiss, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Have a wonderful week.
Will do.